Good evening. Tonight we have a Christmas story for you, a musical story. Not a story about music, a story told through music. It's a fine story, one you know very well, and we have a fine orchestra to play it. So sit back, relax, and don't worry about the way it starts. Well, you see, the story begins this way. Marley was dead to begin with. An interesting beginning for a story in a book, but not a very upbeat way to begin a concert piece. I mean, what is a composer to do with Jacob Marley? Not a happy theme. But then Jacob Marley wasn't a happy man. And Ebenezer Scrooge's theme isn't much happier. Put them together, and you have the firm of Scrooge and Marley. Not an encouraging beginning, but there's happier music to come. There are two pleasant men who solicit on behalf of the poor. There's Scrooge's nephew. There's Bob Cratchit, trying to see the bright side of life. There's Mrs. Cratchit and the children. Especially the bravest and happiest of all, Tiny Tim. So you can see that Scrooge's view of Christmas isn't the only view. And who knows, maybe before it's over, Scrooge will be singing a different tune himself. And now on with our story. It's Christmas Eve in the great city of London. We're making our way through the late afternoon darkness, biting cold and impenetrable brown fog that turns the candles in office and store into ruddy smears and makes the figures scurrying through it appear as so many Christmas phantoms. Ah, here's our street. And here's the old warehouse with Scrooge and Marley above the door. Scrooge and Marley. Even though Marley, as we know, was dead to begin with. Inside, Bob Cratchit sits huddled over a ledger book, warmed by one faintly glowing coal. Cratchit thinks about Christmas Eve and being home with his family. Inside, Scrooge sits and watches Cratchit and wonders if he's getting his money's worth. Suddenly, it's Scrooge's nephew stopping in to invite his uncle to Christmas dinner. Rebecca rebuffed by his uncle, the nephew opens the door to leave, and in doing so admits two men who are soliciting funds for the poor. The men leave empty-handed.
"And now,"
says Scrooge to Bob Cratchit,
"I suppose you'll be wanting the whole day off tomorrow?"
"If it's convenient, sir,"
says Bob Cratchit. Scrooge finally relents.
"Be here all the earlier next day,"
he says. And that's how he wishes Bob Cratchit a Merry Christmas. And so Scrooge locks up, and Bob Cratchit heads homeward, stopping only to go down a slide with some children. Office closed, Scrooge eats his usual dinner in his usual tavern, then walks home through the fog to his lonely chambers. But the front door knocker, is it a door knocker, or is it a face, Marley's face? Unsettled, Scrooge locks himself in his room. Double locks himself in his room. But what's that? That sound coming from the cellar. Coming up. Up. Closer. And closer.
"For each of the next 3 nights," says Marley's ghost, "you'll be visited by 3 spirits.
Scrooge sleeps, and sure enough, he's awakened by the first spirit, the spirit of Christmas past. This spirit summons up memories of Scrooge's youth, the party at Old Fezziwig's, Scrooge's first and only love, the gradual hardening of Scrooge's heart. Exhausted, he falls asleep, but is awakened by another spirit. This time it is the spirit of Christmas present, summoning up scenes of a happy nephew enjoying the season in good-natured merriment.
while the Cratchit family finds its own Christmas cheer in the kindness that shines from loving hearts. Scrooge sleeps again, but no sooner does he fall asleep than the third spirit appears, the spirit of Christmas to come, who tells a tale of heartbreak and destitution, the death of Tiny Tim, the loneliness and death of Scrooge himself. The last of these unhappy scenes finds Scrooge staring at a gravestone upon which is written the name Ebenezer Scrooge.
No!
The phantom fades. The bedpost was his own, the bed was his own, the room was his own. Best and happiest of all, the time before him was his own, to make amends in. First a turkey, the big prize turkey, to be sent to the Cratchits as a Christmas surprise. Then out into the streets and a generous donation to one of the pleasant gentlemen who solicits for the poor and whom Scrooge meets by accident. To his nephews for Christmas dinner. Best of all, greeting Bob Cratchit next morning at the office. Cratchit, 18 minutes late.
You're late, Cratchit.
Sorry, sir. It's only once a year.
There's only one thing to be done.
It won't happen again, sir.
I'm not going to stand this sort of thing any longer. Therefore, I'm about to raise your salary.
Cratchit trembles and gets ready to knock Scrooge down with a handy ruler.
A Merry Christmas, Bob, says Scrooge. A merrier Christmas, Bob, my good fellow, than I've given you for many a year. I'll raise your salary and assist your struggling family, and we will discuss your affairs this very afternoon over a Christmas bowl. Now, make up the fire and buy another coal scuttle before you dot another I, Bob Cratchit.
Scrooge was better than his word. He did it all and infinitely more. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father. He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city knew. Some people laughed to see the alteration in him, but he let them laugh. His own heart laughed, and that was quite enough for him. It was said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well if anyone alive possessed the knowledge. May that be truly said of all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim so often observed, God bless us, everyone.